This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Aerocode 8, we cover SOPA and PIPA, all kinds of acronyms flying around, Mega Uploads Takedown, iBookstore Part Deuce, Jailbreaks, CEOs, and AT&T. We know how I love to talk about them. Stay tuned. You're tuned in to Aerocode 8. You've come back again this week because you love us and you want more of us. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me is, previously mentioned, the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello, everyone.
All right, we've got some interesting and aggravating news for you this week. Slightly quiet in the tech world, except for a few big stories. The first one we're going to hit on, the big one, I want to hit this hard. Hit it hard in the face. The SOPA and PIPA uproar. This is lots of good stuff. What was it? It was January 16th, I believe. There was a kind of a protest. It was a Wednesday. A protest online. A lot of websites had blocked themselves out, had done what they call go dark. You know, they put information on their site regarding the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect Intellectual Property Act to where people would, you know, to bring more eyeballs onto it, to let people see these things are bad. These sites are against it. Here's what you can do about it. For instance, Wikipedia had a spot on their page where you could put in your zip code and it would tell you the name and phone number of your local congressman. Google, I think they had one of the best, where they actually, the Google website was still usable. Their logo actually had a black strip across it to be censored, you know. And what happened is if you clicked on the logo, it took you to a page for an online petition. And I actually signed a petition. Now, there was all kinds of websites that did this. I mean, let's see, Reddit, Boing Boing, WordPress. We actually, at 8 Days of Geek, we went dark for a day. Now, with Google's petition, this actually blew my mind. I know a lot of people are against SOPA and PIPA, but with Google's petition, they sent it live in the morning, and their last reported numbers were at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time that day. So, I mean, not even a full day. And they were already up to 4.5 million signatures on this petition. That is amazing. The internet has finally decided to get off its butt, stand up, and fight for itself. And that makes me proud. It truly does. And I think, I was reading that actually somewhere around, I think, 26 congresspeople actually changed their stance on SOPA and PIPA because of this new information and the fact that so many people are against it. Honestly, it's just to win votes. They're not doing it because they're against or for anything, for the most part. I know that doesn't go for all of them, but you know some of them are like that. Now,
for the right price, they'll all be like that.
Exactly. So. And who has more money to throw around than the MPAA and the RIAA, which pretty much are the two people who wrote this bill and dropped it at Congress's door? I mean, let's be honest. It's, you know, and you know what I want to know is how do they have so much money to buy Congress people when they're losing so much money to online piracy?
Well.
Right?
Theoretically losing all this money to online piracy.
Well, you know, I think singer Jonathan Colton said it best when he tweeted right after Mega Upload went down. He tweeted, "Hey, do any of you other artists like me notice that after Mega Upload went down, the money is just rolling in?" You know, because it's true. I mean, you know, I happen to think that there are three types of online pirates. Go ahead.
It's I definitely have never seen in any article I've ever read where file sharing and torrenting has really ever made an impact in any individual artist's sales. We know it's an issue with, like, whenever an album is leaked out early, like it actually happened to the Black Keys with their most current album. It leaked out early. However, the sales for that album have still been amazing. And I've not seen a report saying, oh, yeah, we lost this amount due to that leak. You don't see reports like that. I mean, they can track. They could easily track that. But you just don't see those reports. There's nothing there behind it.
Exactly. And, I mean, these companies, okay, they do lose. I don't know. I mean, you could say, yes, they lose sales from piracy. But like I said, there are three, in my mind, three types of online pirates. There are the people who can't honestly afford these things, but still want to enjoy the same things as everyone else, who, on, you know, pirate programs and pirate different things online. It's not legal, it's not technically right, but a person has to kind of understand it if you put themselves in, you know, if you put yourself in their shoes. There are the people who pirate simply to pirate. You know, they want the newest movies. They want the movies while they're in theaters. They don't want to go see the movie. You know, they don't want to go, you know, like, for instance, someone who downloads the new Sherlock Holmes movie and doesn't go see it in theaters is that second type of group. Those people I do not like. You give everyone else a bad name. Stop. And then you've got the people that I think make up a good 80% of online pirates. And that is the hoarders. The people who download things and use them. They actually get use out of them. They use them a lot. But they would not have bought those things in the first place. They had no intention of ever buying them. So, you know, the photographer who goes out, loves taking pictures, enjoys it immensely, but cannot afford the $500 set of plugins that he wants to use. So he'd never buy those plugins. But he finds them online. So he downloads them, uses them, gets incredible pictures out of them, donates stuff to the art world, you know, brings in new art, new ideas, but he would have never bought those plugins, ever. So, to me, if a person would never have bought them in the first place, there's no actual way you can lose sales from that. Because he wasn't going to pay you the money in the first place, at all. He would have just went without. So, you know, to me, a lot of pirates are just like that. They're people who would never have bought that, but because, you know, because they can, and they can go out and get it, they'll use it. You know, and who knows, they get rich and famous, they might start buying your products. So, it's one of those things where you get people hooked, and then they might start supporting you. Jonathan Coulton did that. He gave out a lot of his stuff, doesn't worry about piracy. You know, people end up buying his music all the time. Of course, then you've got people who are in that second group who, you know, they like Green Day's Time of Your Life, okay? They go out. You could buy that one track from Amazon for a buck. But what do? You go out and you download Green Day's entire discography. I hate those people. Oh, I hate those people. So the thing is, you know, piracy isn't right, it isn't fair, but it isn't as big of a problem as the music industry and the movie industry would have you think. You know, it's just not. And SOPA and PIPA, to me, are, as Confucius says, using a cannon to kill a mosquito. They open up doors to so many bad possibilities and so many things that can go wrong. You need a smaller blanket, you know? You can't, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of power that this gives to governments and companies alike. I mean, you know, you could shut down entire, like, for instance, if Blogspot, you know, Blogger, if one website on Blogger posts infringing content, technically they could shut down all of Blogger. Just the entire, you know, millions of blogs wiped off the face of the internet simply because one company doesn't like the fact that one person posted a 10-second clip of something else. You know? It's dumb. So, SOPA and PIPA, they have been shelved for the moment because of the online protest. And, you know, they're not... they're going to keep coming back with it. They're going to amend it. you know, the recording industry and the movie industry did not want SOPA or PIPA coming out publicly. I mean, you never do, because you know people are going to fight it. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, evil companies are going to do evil things. And all we can do is band together as an internet and fight it. And we did an amazing job this time. We actually got our voices heard.
Yeah, and I hope in the future that when things like this happen, more people stand up and take notice and use the internet as a means to, well, become one body, you know, to actually have one voice. It's amazing the difference between this and the 99% protests that were happening, how chaotic and disorganized and scattered that was, and how unified this was. It just goes to show how powerful Google and Wikipedia and these things that we see and interact with every day, how powerful and important they are in our lives.
We are geeks. We are legion.
Oh, and one other thing, for those of you listeners out there or anything that want to say, you know, oh, I heard of a band, maybe heard part of the song on the radio and, you know, want to download it and sample it and, you know, hear what it sounds like and then buy it later. Yeah, that doesn't work. The thing is that if you really wanted to sample it, there's Spotify, there's Pandora, there are tons. Most of them host their music to listen to for free on MySpace or Facebook or somewhere that you can hear it without downloading it. That's not a legitimate excuse anymore. 5 years ago, 8 years ago, yeah, 100%. But nowadays, there's places, especially Spotify, which is excellent, to hear music for free without downloading it. And then from there, you can buy it. And there's tons of places to buy it. So the sampling, that doesn't really work anymore. There's definitely places you can hear your music for free.
Exactly. And I am strongly with the fact of if you like it, buy it.
Yeah, I've not illegally downloaded anything in 2 years. I am a recovering pirate. And suffice to say, it's actually nice having, you know, there's some places where you buy from where if it gets lost or destroyed or anything, you can re-download it.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah, Steam for video games, excellent. Didn't like it at first. It's been my best friend for a long time now.
You know, when it first came out, I hated Steam. And now I'm the same way. I've started buying games off of it. But I buy them because on Steam, if you buy a version on the Mac, you automatically get the Windows version for free.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's fantastic. All your games across all your computers, regardless of CD keys and everything like that. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And just the backing up also is I destroy hard drives for I have no idea why, what reason or how it happens. So I lose my information constantly. And knowing that my download and my game is safe without me having to find the CD and the CD key and everything else is really nice.
Very nice. You know, there's another group of people who don't worry about CD keys, and that's Mega Upload.
Flawless segue.
I've been waiting to use that button the whole night. Flawless segue. Hell yeah.
Oh.
Mega Upload has been shut down by the federal government. 7 people have been charged. 4 of them actually got arrested from the company. This was not good. This is not good at all. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mega Upload is basically a file sharing website. You upload something, it has a link, you send the link out, a whole bunch of people can download it. It's sound in theory, except for the fact that, you know, I mean, obviously, people are going to use it for piracy. I mean, this happens. This is what happens in the world of the web. You offer people a deposit box to put something in, it's going to be illegal sooner or later. Well, Mega Upload has been charged with conspiracy. Now, they say the federal government says that for more than 5 years, these people have been arrested, which are the founders and the main officers of the company, have willingly distributed pirated movies, often before the theatrical releases, so, you know, bootlegs and stuff like that. You know, basically a lot of copyrighted material, and they have earned over $175 million in, quote, illegal profits through advertising revenue. They say they're also charging the company with money laundering because it pays its uploaders through a uploader reward program. So if you upload something that a lot of people download, they will pay you money for it. Now, I will honestly say that is something I would have tapped the brakes on right away. I mean, I understand you want people to upload things that other people want to come to the site and download, but that's a little shifty even from a layman's standpoint, you know, because people want to download the copyrighted material. So that's just asking for trouble. I don't know if these people went into this thinking about that or if it just naturally progressed to there. But the fact of the matter is that Mega Upload has been taken off the web by the feds. You know, the federal government has done this, and this is a very, very, very slippery slope. Because, I mean, they have general, you know, they have very large blanket charges on them. You know, conspiracy covers so many things, it's ridiculous. I mean, conspiracy, I think the term for conspiracy in the law dictionaries is like a paragraph long of just things that go under it, you know, extortion and assault and all these things. If you plan to do it, it could technically be considered conspiracy. Now, don't quote me on that because I'm not, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I think, when I was describing this story to you, Sam, I said, this is why I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I hate this stuff. But, you know, so what do you think about just the federal government taking Mega Upload down? What's this a precursor to?
I hope it's not a precursor to
anything.
I really hope this is an isolated incident and it does not repeat at all, because it really shows that one, there is no communication then obviously between the government and these websites, these business entities, because if there were, we would have seen possibly Mega Upload attempt to rectify the situation, because, well, as Kim.com is claiming, they did follow the laws in regards to copyrighted content. He's even quoted as saying that they are just like YouTube in how they handle copyrighted content. If this is true, and you know, if they are doing that, then it shows that there's not any – the government is just going to randomly crack down on all of this without sending out any warnings or anything. It's not very good for sites that give users a lot of power, like Mega Upload and most other websites. They give the user the responsibility of using the site correctly and not violating the terms of service. If this becomes a repeated issue, we will probably see that change. We'll see a lot more restrictions on sites like YouTube because of it.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I am worried about.
And that would suck.
Exactly. I mean, I'm really worried about that because of the fact that, you know, you look at these websites, okay? They say that you get privacy. They're not going to look through your crap. You know, they're not going to, you know, people upload different things to this website. It is a file sharing website at its heart.
Exactly.
Now, you know, you agree to a EULA at the very beginning that says you will not store copyrighted material on their servers. In my mind, they are not responsible. You are responsible for storing the copyrighted material on their servers. You broke the EULA. You're the one in breach of contract.
But we've already seen that the companies, the copyright holder companies, the patent holders, cannot go after individuals.
Exactly. Which is why they go after Mega Upload.
And it's, you know, now if the claims of knowing about the illegal content and intentionally allowing it to continue to be hosted are true, then yes, they violated the law and they did that at their own mercy. You know, it's something that, you know, that's what happens whenever you decide to push your luck. However, if that isn't true, if they did not do this, then this is a very steep overstepping by the government, in my opinion.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, it's one of those things where the government in this situation has clearly seem to have sided with the copyright holders as opposed to the companies that technically had very little blame in the whole situation. I mean, is, you know, Dropbox, for instance, is the government going to shut down Dropbox next because, you know, I have a song on my Dropbox folder that I didn't pay for?
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous the fact that these websites are getting, can be shut down so easily. And Mega Upload is actually saying that they didn't get, you know, hardly any DMCA takedown notices or anything like that. So basically, I mean, the government was really eager for some reason or another, I'm going to say greased palms, to treat Mega Upload as a giant racketeering case, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep. What we're going to see is far fewer U.S. websites, which is a problem. I mean, this is exactly what they want, is they want them to get pushed into other countries because then SOPA would have taken care of all their problems. If they bust all the American file sharing websites and all of the American websites and they all go overseas, SOPA would have allowed them to completely strangle out all of them, block them all from Google.
Exactly.
I mean, this is obviously a two-part, you know, they needed both of these to go through. They didn't get SOPA, but they, you know, step B still went ahead and they followed through with it. And, you know, it's a grand conspiracy. We're talking about one right now, so
well, yeah.
I guess it works out. But now I'm very upset with the how this is being handled. Criminals are not. This is not a good thing for the United States to be doing.
No, it's not. Not at all. There is a slightly criminal group that's taking care of it, though.
Flawless segue.
Yeah, because I used criminal. Booyah. Anonymous decided to go on a huge rampage after Mega Upload got taken down. I mean, impressive. An utterly impressive rampage. I mean, I was blown away. They took down, get this, the Department of Justice, the RIAA, the MPAA, and Universal Music. And then later on, I believe they actually got access to, what was it, CBS's website?
Mm-hmm.
And literally deleted the website. I mean, that's
impressive. That very is, impressive.
Yes. They didn't even not. Now we're not talking about Anonymous's normal DDoS attack, where is a a whole bunch of pings hit the server all at once and overload it to where no other traffic can get through and the website just comes down. We're talking about they got access to the CBS.com domain's FTP servers and deleted the files, like completely wiped them off the face of the map. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Now, this is, once again, as I said, impressive. Anonymous has never actually attacked in this large of a quantity before. I mean, they took down all these sites. This was very, you know, I mean, within a couple hours, they did all of this.
The efficiency... that they have been showing in their last few attacks is just amazing. They are, if they don't already have multiple governments that have dedicated divisions to track these people down, then I don't know what it's going to take.
Exactly. Let's see here. An updated list we have here is, let's see, we've got RIAA, MPAA, Universal Music Group, U.S. Copyright Office. let's see. There were over 5,600 DDoS attacks blasting all at once. Let's see here. EMI went offline. French Copyright Authority. Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Wow. Let's take down the FBI. You know, why
not?
That's...
All right, let's see here. They did release a statement about the attacks later, and I'm reading this from the actual pastebin for it. See here, popular file sharing website MegaUpload.com gets shut down by U.S. Justice. FBI and charged its founder for violating privacy laws, blah, 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 blah. This is basically just basic information. We Anonymous are launching our largest attack ever on the government and music industry sites. Lulz. The FBI, that's literally in there, lulz. The FBI didn't think they would get away with this, did they? They should have expected us. The following sites were taken down in response to the FBI shutting down MegaUpload.com. Tango Down. Justice.gov. UniversalMusic.com. RIAA.org. MPAA.org. Copyright.gov. I'm not sure. That's the French Copyright Office. WMG.com. USDOJ.gov. BMI.com. FBI.gov. Anti-piracy. That looks like a Belgian website. ChrisDodd.com, Vivendi.France, let's see here, Whitehouse.gov. They actually, let's see here, released some information from the MPAA's CEO, Chris Dodd. And literally, like, his religion, his party affiliation, his high school. Law school. Wow. His wife's name, age, religion, high school. I'm not going to read all this off. his children, their ages, his addresses over the years. The corporate offices of all of the MBAAs. Holy cow. And of course, at the end, we are anonymous. We are legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Impressive.
Yes. I mean, okay, a little bit illegal. Okay, a lot illegal. Just plain illegal. But impressive nonetheless. And hey, if this doesn't get the the government's attention, I give up. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's just... All right, so Anonymous can pretty much take that. At this point, they're huge enough. You don't want to mess with them. You don't want to get on the bat. We love you, Anonymous. We love you all. Yeah. Please don't take
us down.
By the way,
for those of you who have heard, they are not going to do an attack on Facebook. That was a fake video.
Yeah, they did. They did announce that video was a fake. That was not them. So.
Right. Just well, so Facebook, you all know.
Facebook really hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, if anything else,
it employs more hackers than the United States government.
Yeah, so. And if anything else, Facebook should be afraid of SOPA too, because I mean, they're a website where people contribute and upload things. So I mean, they're mm-hmm. right for the picking to be knocked off the web.
Oh yeah.
All right, we'll move on from SOPA and Mega Upload and all that junk. Get to something a little happier. Jeez. Anyway. Apple recently announced that they have an update to iBooks. We're going to run through this real quick. iBooks 2 will allow you to have like textbooks. This is something that I think Steve Jobs saw from the very beginning, and it just took a little while to get it done right. I mean, we all know Apple. They don't do it first. They do it right. Now, the prices of these books are pretty spectacular. Right now, they're looking at $15 and less. Now, there aren't a whole lot of books on there, a lot of textbooks. Now, the biggest problem I see with this is the fact that these books range from 800 megabytes to almost 3 gigabytes. On a 16-gig iPad, that's going to be a lot. The books do contain things like movable pictures that you can zoom in and out, twist them around, move them around, videos. So, basically, you open up this textbook, and it's completely interactive. I see this becoming a great thing in schools that can afford it, and colleges. And I'm really hoping that sooner or later, I can have all my textbooks on an iPad. That would be great, because frankly, I'm tired of paying hundreds of dollars for a wad of paper that I'm going to use for 14 weeks and then give away again. Now, another thing that this new update brings us is the iBooks Author. It's from the Mac App Store, so it runs on your actual Mac computer. It's free. It allows you to create your own books and your own textbooks and actually put them out. You set the price and all this good stuff. that's going to, you know, open up the doors to a lot of self-help books, a lot of how-tos. You know, all these different people will be able to put books out there. And, you know, it might be, it'll be a lot of crud that you'll have to wade through, I'm sure. But it'll be a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah, I expect there to be a lot of sex education.
Probably. Now, I see the thing is that the books also have to go through the exact same rigorous approval process as the apps. So no fart sound books.
Or how to fart books.
Well, you squeeze your cheeks this way and all right. Also, go ahead.
Oh yeah, but the iBooks author, that is some very interesting software. That's I don't really care for the iBooks things. I have a touchpad. It's got the Kindle on there. I don't like digital books. Even with WebOS's ability to have multiple cards open, the fact is that it's nice in real life to have six books open in front of you when you're having to do a research paper.
This is
so
true.
What is convenient is that I would definitely throw like every one of my math books on there, since math is not normally something you need four books open at once for.
This is true. One thing that I notice with electronic books especially, because I do try to get most of my textbooks electronically if I can, I will buy the regular book anyway, but I try to find an electronic version if possible. You know, Amazon has a lot of electronic textbooks.
Yep.
One thing I do like is the ability to control F. So if I'm looking for a term that I'm getting tired of sifting through pages for, control F. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Search a term, bam, goes right there. I don't have to look through the book. That's probably extremely lazy of me, and I'm looking over the entire fact that I'm supposed to be reading it, but it's so much easier.
Reading and rereading. That's, it's not just one time through. You're supposed to read your books multiple times through.
See, from now on, the textbook command F will forever be known as the Ferris Bueller.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, right? Okay, also iTunes U, which has been around for a while. It's iTunes University, basically, what that stands for. It's online lectures, all that kind of good stuff. We'll have its own app now, instead of being tied into iTunes. All right. Lots of information there. On a related Apple note...
Flawless segue.
God, I love that. The jailbreak that has come out recently for all the iOS devices has been tethered up until now. Now we have an untethered jailbreak for all of the A5 Apple devices. There was already one for the lower, the A4s, you know, like the iPod 4G and below, the 3GS, and the iPhone 4. This covers the iPad 2 and the iPhone 4S. This allows you to jailbreak it and restart the phone constantly without ever having to tether it or plug it into a computer. This is great. I love jailbreaking because I love Apple products so much, but the iOS devices are just a little too closed off for my comfort zone.
Agreed.
All right.
Now, this is coming from a guy who uses the only phone operating system that's sold unlocked, but you know.
Well, you know. And, you know, there was another phone company in the news recently. Something about, I don't know, CEOs or I don't know what that was. You read the news sometimes, don't you?
Oh, most of the time.
All right. Why don't you tell me about whatever that was? I don't know. Look it up real quick. Hurry.
Oh, I've got it.
Oh.
It's RIM. I'm surprised you didn't do the flawless segue there since we shifted from one phone company to another.
Flawless segue.
I was waiting for it. I really was. I was thrown off when you didn't do it.
Oh.
Okay. There's been a big shakeup for Research in Motion. I'm going to slaughter their names, but they are the coolest names in the world.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to try.
The co-CEOs. I like Jim. Jim Ball. It's so funny. Basili, I guess.
I think it's
Basili.
I think it's Basili. Basili.
Basili. Yeah, I'm not foreign. Sorry. not Americans. Not very good at last names. And Mike Lazaridis. I don't know. I'm really terrible. I need to start listening to more videos to figure out these people's names.
Wow.
Not that they matter. Not that they matter anymore, because exactly. They have stepped off.
Exactly.
They are no longer.
I know one of the. I know Jim is Vasily. Vasily, I believe is how you say that. Mike Lazaridis. Yeah, I think one of the websites actually spelled it wrong and put an I in there. No, I'm reading it wrong. Hold on. Yeah, that is weird. I don't know. Look, it sounds like
it's something from Mortal Kombat, ironically enough.
Yeah, it also sounds like an infection. I got a bad case of Lazaridis.
Lazaridis.
Man, oh, holy cow. Ugh. All right, I'm glad you went for that.
Yep. I had to have some humor in this episode. But yeah, they've stepped down. They're the founders, more or less, of RIM.
Yes, they are.
But after watching Research in Motion lose 75% of its stock value, yeah, it's about time for a change up.
I always thought it was odd that they had two CEOs to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, make one of them a founder and put him somewhere else. You know, don't make him a CEO. That's weird.
That is odd. It's something you don't see very often, especially in American companies, is to have the multiple CEOs. You'll have, you know, presidents and everything else on down the line, but you won't have normally once the founder is done, that's it. But they've been replaced by Thorsten Hines,
which is so much easier to say.
Exactly.
That's why they picked him, just because he had a easy to say name. It was probably the only person who applied whose name they could pronounce. That's why they did it.
True. Actually, I don't know the rest of the RIM board, but I expect it to be mostly really confusing names.
Probably. They're a Canadian company, so you never know.
However, Hines is just sticking with the... I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to step in and say anything crazy. Everyone saw not to do that whenever HP hired their new CEO. That just does really, really bad things. They're going to stick with QNX and their playbook OS 2.0, BlackBerry 10. Everything is, you know, set in stone as of right now. They're not making any changes. I don't see how that's going to be better or worse. The big thing is that BlackBerries aren't cool. Apple is cool. Windows Phone has a snazzy new look to it. QNX looks like WebOS, which already failed. So, sadly, I don't see BlackBerry's future looking very good.
Oh, I figured they were probably going down the spout for a while, but I had a BlackBerry. I had a 9700, and I gotta say, when I had that phone, I absolutely loved it. I left BlackBerry because AT&T, not because of BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
I've toyed with buying another one, but I have a hard time investing my money in a company that's doing so bad.
Well, and the other thing is that where RIM was strongest in email, Google has offered such a variety of services with their Android platform and on their web browser everywhere that obsoletes email. You use Google Talk as much as you can now.
Yes, I do.
Versus emailing. And if it wasn't for me losing the password so I couldn't log in, we would be using that right now. So many Google services with Android has just obsoleted everything that RIM is good at.
This is very true. I mean, and even then, and not even just Android and Google, but also things like Kik, the Kik Messenger, GroupMe, those replace BlackBerry Messenger, which is one of the main draws of a BlackBerry. Google allows you to forward your Gmail to pretty much every device capable of doing ActiveSync now, which is an exchange protocol, so a whole lot of devices use it. You know, it's
and that's Let's not forget Google Voice for the Sprint users, who can have their Google Voice number and Sprint number be the same. That gives you access to your messages and everything pretty much from any device connected to the internet.
Exactly. And now with Siri and Android's voice controls, there's your Nuance voice commands on the BlackBerry. So the only thing they have going for them, their hardware is really good. I will give them that. Their software is a little down in the dumps, but their hardware is great. I love
Sadly, a BlackBerry keyboard.
In
a form factor that no one cares about anymore. If anybody wanted keyboards, we would see more Android devices with keyboards, but we don't.
I know, and that actually bums me out, because I've always thought that like the new BlackBerry 9900 would be very nice with a keyboard on it.
Yes, so. I agree. It's actually the reason why I haven't really changed phones or anything else like that. I accept the fact that WebOS is pretty much gone, but Windows Phone isn't up with the keyboards yet. There's not the full functionality on every screen for them, along with every app. And Android devices with keyboards are mostly lackluster. They're just not the greatest of the Android lineup. And I have to have a keyboard. I have to have it. My hands are covered in oil all day, so can't do touchscreens.
Gotcha. All right, last story. This one's kind of a blurb. Nothing too exciting here. AT&T is going to be adjusting their data plans on, well, they say January 22nd, and this is a little late for us. But we'll outline some of the interesting little facts. Of course, if you already have a contract, whether it's the old unlimited one or, you know, whatever, if you don't change it, these don't apply to you. However, here's some changes. We've got the 300 megabytes of data. That's the lowest plan instead of the normal 250, I think it was. The 250 cost you $15. Am I right on that? Pretty sure.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was $15. Yep. 300 megabytes will cost you $20. But I don't understand that math. It blows a gasket in my head, but oh well.
Oh, well, the $15 one is a tablet feature, so chances are we'll see that one limited to tablets.
I hate AT&T.
Yep.
Now, the 2 gigabyte plan that used to be around for $25 is now 3 gigabytes for $30, and they also will allow a 5 gigabyte plan and mobile hotspot access wrapped into one for $50.
Ignoring the we'll ignore the $15 and the $20 one for now.
Yeah.
More or less what they're saying is they value 1 gigabyte at $10.
Yes, they do. Basically.
Why don't they make a flat plan where you have internet? And you pay if you use a gig or under a gig, you pay $10. If you use under 2 gigs, you pay $20. If you use under 3 or between, you know, more than 2 but less than 3, you pay the $30.
Because that wouldn't make money.
I almost guarantee it would.
That's all it's about is money. Because, see, the thing is,
right,
the people who think they're going to use the 3 gigabytes and only use 2 are giving AT&T $10 free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the kicker, is the fact that people who get the bigger plans and don't use them are giving them free money. You know, same thing with minute plans. I mean,
yep,
minutes are – they give you such a ridiculous amount of minutes and rollover minutes, which is the biggest joke since I can't even think of anything. The fact of the matter is you will never use them. Never. Mm-hmm. I've never known a single person – who's ever gotten a plan that is suitable for them. Now, if you talk on the phone a lot, you gotta get a higher plan. But I've never found somebody who has gotten a plan that they think is suitable for them and ended up like going over it.
The thing is now AT&T offers on their unlimited messaging, you get the unlimited mobile to mobile, regardless of carrier. So that rollover minutes are now only – Your minute plan only counts for house lines and businesses.
Exactly. I think on my last Sprint bill, I think I actually ended up using 30 minutes for an entire month. And that was between two phones. I think only like five of that was me.
I have not used, I want to say in the last 2 months, I know for sure I have not placed or received a phone call.
I have. I just use Skype and Groove IP for my Google Voice number.
Yeah, actually, okay, I lie. I did use Groove IP to make an insurance claim. Because obviously my other phone was broke.
And see, folks, if you go to our website, you will notice that our most recently reviewed Android app is Groove IP. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to wrap this up. We're running a little bit long. We're about almost 45 minutes now.
Well, you said it was going to be short.
I jinxed myself. Yeah. I said, we're going to run through this real quick. And then the stories just started stacking up. And of course, every story on here is like an aggravation to me.
And oh, yeah.
I always end up ranting a little when I get on a tangent. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of frustrations in this episode.
Exactly. All right, Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and stalk you.
Find me on Twitter. The Man It's Man, find me on here, Samuel Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com. Get a hold of me via Gmail, manitoman@gmail.com or livingbriggs@live.com, either one. By the way, if any of you have any interesting little geek news or tech or anything else like that, or a new kind of quiet gadget that's not getting a lot of publicity that you want talked about or brought up, definitely post in the comments here or shoot me a message on Twitter. I love hearing about that stuff, and I will definitely talk about it on the show if it's something really awesome.
Very cool. All right. You can find me, Jesse, at 8daysofgeek.com. Of course, you can hit me up on Twitter, at Pen of Doom. You can go to my about.me page. It's about.me/Jesse Miller if you want to find all of my stuff. I'm on Google Plus, you know, it's all on the about.me page. What am I kidding you? Now, if you'd like to call in, because we all know how much people love calling places, or you can text. Haha. If you'd like to call or text and leave us a message, send us some comments, tell us we're dumb. It doesn't matter. We'll listen to anything. You know, we're like that. We're neurotic. You can call us at 754-273-6397. And for those of you who don't have enough minutes and your phone cut out, we'll call you back on your landline. And that number is 754-273-6397. You know, you would... I actually... By the way, I have to read that off a card every time. Just so people know, because I have to put myself down every once in a while. I'm just so awesome. I have to make people realize I'm a real human being. And you would have thought I would have memorized that number by now, but no, not at all.
Well, who memorizes phone numbers nowadays?
Exactly.
The fact is, the phones all do it for us.
Do you realize, this is funny, I know we're running long, but I got to say this. I have been married for almost 5 years. Okay. I just memorized my wife's cell phone number like a couple months ago. And wow. I still get it wrong. Like every once in a while, I'll transpose some digits. There's a lot of like fives and threes and everything else in there. So I don't know. It's a little mind dyslexia. All right. We'll let you go, guys. You come back to us next week and we'll have plenty of more fun stuff for you. Thanks for listening to Errorcode 8. Have you ever noticed that little thing at the beginning, the little thing, kind of sounds like someone going, Eric?
Yeah.
That's why I did that, Eric. One for the road.
Flawless Segway.